And welcome everyone to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circle on July 11th. I'm so happy to see all of you. The Peace Alliance is an organization and we empower civic action toward a culture of peace. That's our mission. And these calls have been really lovely to gather people together to share their emerging stories at this uncertain time. And today we have a wonderful guest, Kendra Mann, who is a longtime advocate and supporter of the Peace Alliance. We're so excited that she is here. But for now, we'll just begin with Yelena.
Welcome, everybody. It's always a pleasure to see you. And I did really miss you all last Saturday. That it felt like a long time since we have come together in a circle like this. So it is really my honor to introduce Kendra and to just talk a little bit about just how, you know, how influential actually this day is. And I, you know, when we were planning this, I actually didn't know that we were planning it on the 19th anniversary of legislation for U.S. Department of Peacebuilding. So 19 years ago is when that legislation was introduced. And to know that this is Kendra's life goal was really meaningful for me to, on this day, to have Kendra speak. And that's how Kendra and I actually met. We met a couple of years ago and advocating for U.S. Department of Peacebuilding. And it is the depth of her presence and grace and humbleness that I'm always really inspired by. So when she accepted this invitation, it was truly an honor to hear her speak. So I'm just gonna give a little bit of a frame around her talk, and I invite you to really into listening. Listening both to the story that Kendra is going to share, but also listening to the incredible story that the legacy where she comes from, and that I will kind of invite us into. So Kendra is a daughter. And you read some of it in her bio, but I didn't know this. I didn't know this until I met Kendra last year when she invited me to a behind the scenes tour by the curator of science and medicine at the Smithsonian, Dr. Catherine Ott. And it was a exhibit, Illegal to Be You, Gay History Beyond the Stonewall exhibition. And it was fascinating. It was fascinating to learn that her moms, Phyllis, Leon, and Del Martin, were, you know, when they started, they had no idea that their search for women like themselves would lead them to co-found in 1955, the daughter of Bilitis, the first organization for lesbians. They and others planted the seed for what would ultimately become the international social and political movement that has fought for the rights of LGBTQ plus people ever since. And along the way, they found the magazine, The Ladder, delivered speeches, wrote books and articles, and expanded these causes they supported. And there is a fantastic documentary film about them and their work, called No Secret Anymore, The Times of Del Martin and Phyllis Leon, available free on Amazon Prime and renting on the video. And I just wanna read a little bit from their introduction to 1991, introduction to their 20th anniversary of their book, Lesbian Woman. And this is what they wrote. the homophile community of 15 years ago might have settled for tolerance, but not today. Not halfway measures will do. Today, there are no more pleas or pleases. There are only demands. And they come not from the minority of our population, but from the majority. Not from homosexuals, but from women and from Blacks and from all third world people. The great society can only be great as they know, appreciate, love, understand, and express their diversity and individuality. No longer is toleration acceptable. The lesbians, along with all oppressed people, want freedom, and we want it now. And with that, it just strikes me how this is so relevant in the world we are living right now. So with that, I just want to extend my warm welcome to Kendra and to sit back and listen to her story. Welcome, Kendra.
Thank you, Yelena. And thank you all. And I know that people often start with saying it's an honor to speak to you today. And I truly mean it. It is an honor. It's not expected for me, and I appreciate it. So I'm a better writer than a speaker, and so I have written things down, and I hope that that will carry me through when words fail me, and I appreciate your help and understanding. So my talk is today about legacy, living legacy. And I think of one of myself as a person who combines the legacies of my parents. My dad was career Army intelligence officer, and my moms were civil rights activists. And when I was first exposed to the Peace Alliance in 2005, I think it was, at a conference in Berkeley, Marshall Rosenberg taught us about nonviolent communication. And one of the things that he said that I still remember today, many things I remember, but he said that we all have the same beautiful needs, but we have different strategies for meeting those needs. And so when I think of my parents, I realized that they had the same beautiful needs. They both wanted to serve our country, to protect our democracy, and they had very different strategies for doing that. They were all three journalism majors, by the way, and all good writers. So I think I come by some of their skills, honestly. The last of my three parents died in April. That's my adoptive mom, Phyllis. And so while their earthly life and work has ended, I am the responsible party for their legacy, preserving their legacy. Many others helped me with this. But first I'd like to tell you a little bit more about them, my moms. They had very different personalities, and they accomplished a great deal separately and together. Most people who know them or about them think that of them as one entity, but they were very different. Del, my birth mom, was more quiet and introspective, slow to anger, and when she spoke, people listened. Phyllis was vivacious and flirty, demonstrative, and more like a sparkler to my mom, Del's steady candle. When I think about hope, because these are the Hope Story Circles, I think of how much my mom's accomplished and how much fun they had doing it. And I think that's something that we in the Peace Alliance emulate. We don't know how our story is going to end, but we've accomplished a great deal. In the 1950s, homosexuals, when they got together, homosexuals were routinely rounded up by police and arrested, beaten on the streets, denounced in churches, and cast out by families. These things still exist today, but many LGBTQ people are living out loud and proud because of the work my moms and so many others did. They had a clear vision. Knowing that homosexuals were viewed by society as illegal, immoral, and sick, they set out to change that in each of those communities. They worked with the justice system, the psychiatrists, and the religious community, and they persisted over many decades. These are all lessons for all of us and strategies for all of us. They wrote the book, Lesbian Woman, about these issues, which many people say saved their lives. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard about people who would stop them on the street or tell me that they did things like they looked up in the telephone directory my mom's phone number. They maybe never called, but they were glad to see that it was listed there. And many people did call and call out of appreciation or distress and got a listening ear. People told me about how they never went to a Daughters of Bilitis meeting, but they would look up the announcements and in the paper each week and just be heartened by that, although not having the courage to go to a meeting themselves. Or they wouldn't subscribe to the Ladder, the magazine, but they would share it. And those were mailed out, by the way, in brown paper covers. And they would share them with the person who was brave enough to have a subscription, or they would go to the library and find the book Lesbian Woman, but be afraid to check it out. So some people actually hid it in the stacks so that they could find it again and read it, continue to read it over their many trips to the library. So their book and their work had a profound effect on many people. They also had conversations like we're having today, because they wanted to help people learn from each other how to be whole human beings. I took two pages instead of one. They founded or co-founded many issue-oriented community groups. Citizens Alert was founded in 1965. So how many years ago is that, to respond to police brutality in San Francisco? The Council on Religion and Homosexuality was the bridge between the churches and the gays and lesbians. The Alice B. Toklas LGBT Democratic Club, they co-founded in order to help have political clout. They separately, Phyllis became a sexology professor, and Dell authored the first US book on domestic violence called Battered Wives. They joined the National Organization for Women as the first gay couple to claim couples membership. They they put gay and lesbian aging on the agenda of the White House Conference on Aging, and for the first time in 1989, they were the first gay couple to be married in California in 2004. And this is just a piece of the action. If you look them up online, or if you look for that film, it will blow your mind as to what people can accomplish in their lifetimes, and inspire us all to do what we can do. They worked for change in many areas and many policy areas, many arenas and policy areas, just like we do in the Peace Alliance. Over time, our definition of peace has grown exponentially, from interpersonal language to healing to connection with the earth. Del and Phyllis saw that people needed to do inner work as well as educational and political work. They taught me that compromise works further to further the agenda. And Del saved everything with an eye for history. Newspaper clippings, drafts of speeches, letters, cards, invitations, awards, books, videos. And Phyllis saved probably 26 albums, fat albums of photographs. So all of this is my job. They made arrangements with the LGBTQ History Archives in San Francisco as a repository for all of their papers and recordings. Of the many boxes that were left in their house, they had a tiny house, smaller than the trailer that my husband and I live in. And yet they had a basement, and so there was a storage space for all these boxes and boxes and books. So now we've moved them up to my storage unit in my town, Petaluma, California, and gradually moved them over here to sort and pass on. And friends of mine have helped with that as well. Pan and Tommy have been a great help in sorting and passing on to friends and caregivers and different archives. I always understood how much they accomplished in their 60 some years together on this earth, but I didn't fully know the depth and the extent, and I keep learning more from going through these boxes. And I've learned also more about history. My moms continue to teach me through their writings and speeches and memories. And all of those people that I have known and loved over the years who have passed on have continued to teach me and enrich my life after their deaths. As I remember them, my memories change and become more gentle. And each of those I knew and loved introduced me to others who are now part of my extended family. We are each carrying forward legacies from those who came before us. We all have something more to give to enrich the history we are co-creating right now. In our work with the Peace Alliance, we are co-creating history. The Peace Alliance and the Department of Peacebuilding campaign have made me more of who I am. And I'm starting to tear up at that point. Don't know why. I'm trying to get back my screen. Okay. The Peace Alliance and the Department of Peacebuilding campaign have made me more of who I am. The people I've worked with, the speakers I've listened to, the lessons I've learned, have helped me become part of a beloved community. And I too am a collector and saver of quotations, papers, friends, and stories. Eugene, sometimes my husband Eugene is alarmed how many papers that I have, but nothing in comparison to my mom's. One story that I remember from the Peace Alliance but can't find was about an African-American man who called his family together. He wanted to show them his, to share his legacy with them. And his family members were curious and confused because their family had no great history or and little in the way of belongings. But what he showed them and shared with them was a canceled check that he had made out to Martin Luther King Jr.'s campaign. And I find that story very moving and very illustrative of how we each can contribute a little something toward furthering the cause. At a conference in later years, Dell spoke about a recurring dream that she had where she and Phyllis put out a potted plant each night on the doorstep and each morning checked and found it there and brought it back in. And at a conference, she told this story that she realized what that dream was about. It was about putting their work of a lifetime out for somebody to take and carry on. And at that conference, she felt that they had found the network of people that would carry on their life's work. As I get older, and many of us who are working in the Peace Alliance and the Department of Peacebuilding campaign, I wonder who's going to carry on our work. Dell wrote in a letter in 1974, "In our concentration on outer direct battles, we have been short-sighted in handling internal affairs. Revolution is not enough. Resolution is essential too. We must learn how to get along with one another despite our differences, accept our diversity as well as our similarity, protect the interests of all, individually and collectively. In resolving our own conflicts, we will learn the skills which will ultimately enable us to change society in profound ways." I'm having trouble with my screen again, sorry. So what I got from what I just read to you and I'm reminded of is that this is our time. This is the time we've been preparing for. We've been learning and practicing peace-building skills. I'm part of my parents' legacies, but we are all legacies. We are creating legacies for others to inherit, and we are also our personified legacies, living legacies, reframing and amplifying the legacies of those who came before us. And it's never too late. Phyllis, in her 90s with severe dementia, connected heartfully with her queer caregiver friends and provided the love and reassurance of an elder they did not have in their own lives. About a year ago, I went to a meeting of local businesswomen to hear a talk by a friend. At the close, each of us were asked what we wanted support in, and I answered that I wanted more opportunities to speak about peace. And here I am at your invitation. And I thank you so much for listening. And I really want to hear all of your stories. I know I've had little bits of them in our breakout rooms, but I am eager to hear all of your stories. And thank you.
Thank you, Kendra. Yelena, will you frame the breakouts for us?
Yes, thank you. Oh, this was good for, so good for our heart. Thank you so much, Kendra. And to invite us into a breakout, and I think Terry will post it in the chat. This is an inquiry to kind of really, you know, invite yourself into, and that is, what legacy will you leave? What steps are you taking now to create that and to amplify it? So what legacy will you leave, and what steps are you taking now to create and amplify that legacy? And as a reminder, and for those of you who have been with us, and those of you that are new, when you go into a breakout, please take a few moments to just, you know, invite yourself into that inquiry and allow a share. And after each share, just kind of pause and listen and, you know, attune to each other in a way that is kind and, you know, speaking from a heart, meaning speaking from your own story, listening with a heart, listening truly to the story of others, and say just enough so that each one of you can share. And because we will be sharing some of it in the big group when we come back, just hold the confidentiality as well. So those are some of our agreements, and I know Terry will send us off into a breakout.
Yes, I will. So for those of us who are new to this call, I'm going to have the system invite you to a room, to a breakout room. You'll get a little pop-up on your screen saying join breakout room 6 or whatever number it is, and go ahead and join the breakout room. You'll be with a group of 2 or 3 people, hopefully 3, but it might be 2. And then I might move people around. If I find that there's only one person alone in a room, I might try to adjust that. So if you get a second invitation, go ahead and take it. It's a good one. But do join the breakout rooms, and you'll be in a room with a couple of people and be able to share your stories and answer the question, what legacy will you leave? What steps are you taking now to create and amplify it? And it could be something big and groundbreaking like Kendra's mom's, or it could be something little like a canceled check to a Martin Luther King. And it can be something small, it can be something big, but what are your thoughts? What do you think you're leaving in this world, and what are you leaving behind? So I'm going to set up the rooms now. And then we'll be there for about 15 minutes, and then we'll come back together. I'll give you a 3-minute warning before I bring you back. So there you go. Go join your rooms. We'll see you soon. Welcome back, everyone. It's nice to see you.
That went very quickly for me.
It did.
Is everyone's back?
Yes.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. I'm really thankful to see everyone's faces, and I would really, I'm looking forward to hearing what came up in the small groups. And I know you're asked to reflect on, you know, what you think your legacy will be and how you might amplify it in this moment. And is there anyone who'd like to share with us what came up for them in their groups? I'm going to try to put my glasses on so I can see everyone putting their hands up. Christina, did you want to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. I am really grateful for the conversation that I had. And I wanted to repeat one of the quotes that Kendra gave to us, that revolution is not enough. Resolution is what is needed now in order to change society in profound ways. And that was kind of how we opened up our little breakout conversation. That was really a guiding force in how we view our legacies. And we discussed what it, as not me as a mother, but one of our, you know, one of the other folks in my breakout session talked about their children and that being a major part of their legacy. Which for me connected to my role as a child, that my mom is my one of my number one role models as well. So and kind of how I want to continue her legacy in healthcare. And we also talked about, you know, part of my interest in healthcare is connecting human health to our planetary health. And so the third participant that joined us talked about her role in stewardship of public lands and just how all of those things are interconnected in our legacy as well as our individual legacies. So thank you.
Thank you, Christina. Who else would like to share something that came up for them?
You can unmute yourself.
Nancy, was your hand up?
It was. So toward the end of our discussion, I was reminded that how Kendra's moms have really set more of an example for us in the Department of Peacebuilding campaign than I realize. We're realizing more and more over time. Kendra unearthed about 2 or 3 years ago a report that her mom had done. She had been on a commission for the state of California on violence prevention, and reading that, it was like reading what we're doing today. And she had made recommendations along the lines of what we're all doing. And it was heartening and disheartening that it was heartening that this has been going on so long and disheartening that it's been going on so long. But I don't think Kendra had realized that connection till then, and certainly I hadn't. And I'm just grateful for being part of that continuum.
Thank you, Nancy. Did anything else come up for anyone in their group that they want to share in terms of like what really felt alive in the moment in a discussion about legacy and amplifying legacy? Linda. Oh, I'm sorry, Linda, yeah.
There, you're unmuted. You're unmuted.
I am? Okay, great. Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you. Definitely. Well, we had a great common bond, and that was our children and our teens and our ability to inspire them and encourage them to be the next new legacy. And we'd all talked about the work that we were doing, and it all got very connected, which was really, really nice in terms of our teaching and also in terms of our projects that we're working on and working towards. And so it was just one thing that Kendra said, you know, she talked about our legacy starts now, and it starts with what we can do now. And that became very important and pertinent in our conversation with each other. And the fact that we do have the power from our own experience, whatever that experience is, to share that, the potential legacy and opportunity with young people to be who they are, you know, and in the LGBTQ community, in any community that they're in, that they do have a voice. And that the more we as adults encourage that and bring that forward, then the better the world's going to be, really.
Thank you, Linda. Mm-hmm.
Am I seeing it? I'm scanning. Is it? Oh, yeah. Nancy, would you like to speak?
Yes.
Nancy Meyer.
Hi. I'd just like to say one thing that we did as soon as we entered the chat room. We talked about who we were a little bit, just a snippet of background. And immediately we all found something we had in common. And that was one very small step that we can all take with everyone, always. Seek what we have in common with each other, and that's a part of connecting and bridging all of the divides that are happening so much today. So I just wanted to share that as something I thought was a small thing to do and a big thing to do.
Lovely. Thank you. We probably have time for one or two short shares. Does anyone else wish to share? Lori. Yeah. Can you unmute? Hang on. You're still muted. There you go.
Hi, I'm Lori. I'm Kendra's daughter. I'm Del and Phyllis's granddaughter. Ah. And I'm an associate professor in a university in Tallahassee, Florida. So I feel the things I do are fairly small right now. But the big movement for anti-racism is something that I feel strongly connected to and I feel is very, very important here in the South. So I'm the former director of my school, and I feel I have some opportunities to try to really push anti-racism and equality. And then the smaller other thing I'm just doing on a personal level, even though I'm older, even though I have some autoimmune issues, I feel it's really important that everyone gets an opportunity to vote in this next election. So I'm a poll inspector for the first time, just to try to ensure free and fair elections this fall. So I think I'm taking much smaller steps than my grandmothers did, who really put their whole lives into change. But I really want to keep looking at, you know, now how I can move it forward in many different ways, and especially in the areas of equality.
Wonderful. David?
Just real quick, what is occurring to me, and from what Kendra said, is we are in a multi-generational process of change. And so it's very important to encourage young people, to support young people, to transmit whatever wisdom we have to the younger generation. That's it.
I saw quickly, Geraldine, and then your hand. I forget your first name. So yeah. Geraldine, did you want to say something quickly? Because I can do a very short closing. Yeah, I have it in my head.
I just want to thank Lori for being here and for bringing up how important it is that we all vote in the next election. And it has been brought to my mind with everything that I've been involved with, especially with the crisis that has developed out of the COVID. I firmly believe that the universe brought us COVID to just make us stop, take a breath, listen, and change all of these things that have been needed for so long. Racism is not just a US problem. It is a global problem, and it's much deeper and wider than just dealing with the police department. But in terms of all of brutality, that's, you know, it's the starting point. So I'll shut up now.
Well, I see Cynthia has her hand raised, but we're running short on time. Cynthia, do you have something you can share quickly?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm talking to you from Berkeley, California, where I'm very active in Code Pink and some other organizations. I'm going to start a hunger strike on my birthday, which is July 28, and sit in front of Nancy Pelosi's house because she just passed another budget that funds the military over our needs. And I'm just sharing that with folks. It's my plan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia. Well, before, Liz, before you close, I just want to share a few things in the chat. First, for those of you who are new to the Peace Alliance, I'm going to share the website. Feel free to go there, join our network, click the Join Us button and sign up to be part of our network. Also, all of these Hope Story Circles and our National Monthly Calls are podcasts, and we have a podcast channel called Peace On. that you can access through Apple and also Podbean, but that's the link to our podcast series. We also have an initiative going on that we think is very important called the Blueprint for Peace. And I'm going to post the link here. And if you click on that link, you'll see what it's all about. And with one action, you can contact all of your state and federal elected officials and let them know that you support policies that are related to peace and peace building and violence reduction. We also are a nonprofit, so we obviously accept donations, and there's the link for the donation. We are having our national monthly call. It's the second Tuesday of every month. So on this coming Tuesday, July 14th, is our national monthly call. And this month, our guest is Areshni Naidu Silverman of Sites of Conscience. And she's going to join us to discuss truth and reconciliation at this time of opportunity for meaningful change. She is the senior director of the Global Transitional Justice Initiative, which is the coalition's flagship program on transitional justice. So I'm going to post the link to register for that call, and we welcome you. That's at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time, and all times in between and beyond. And we'd love to have you join us. So
thank you. By way of closing, when we were thinking about legacy, I was reminded of something I heard Oprah Winfrey once say. She was talking to Maya Angelou and said she felt that her school in Africa was going to be her legacy. And that Maya said to her, you don't know what your legacy will be. And that's not up to you to decide. And what came alive for me in the moment as we were doing our last shares was a moment from the book Les Miserables, or the movie. I saw the play and saw a movie. And in the movie version, there's this one moment when Jean Valjean seeks refuge in, I guess, a monastery. And because he's lived this life of pain and how he was called a criminal his whole life, he hits, I guess he's a bishop, over the head and steals everything and runs away. And the police find him and he says, no, he gave these things to me. And he returns, right? And the bishop says, yes, of course I gave them to you, but you forgot the candlesticks, right? And hands them to him and sends them off. And in that moment, he claims a man's soul and his life. And he sets on this whole other story. And if you had asked that bishop at the end of his life what his legacy was, he may or may not have even remembered the man he saw one night in his life that passed through, that changed this trajectory. So I just invite you to care for your legacies, think of your moments, do the big work and do the small work, and go on remembering in any moment that person or event you interact with could be part of your legacy. So I want to thank you guys for being here each week and for helping us to continue to weave the hopeful stories of where we head from here.
Yes, and thank you, Kendra, so much for coming and sharing your story today.
So, and thank you, Terry and Yelena also, yes, for always holding the space with us.
So you're welcome to unmute yourselves and say goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kendra. Goodbye. Good to see you again.
Take care.
Angie, Terry, thank you. Liz,
thank Helena. You.
Yep. Take care, everybody. Bye.
I'll grab your book.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.